The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number three of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, Sirius XM channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. That gentleman to my left is Kelly Bidlin. You don't mind me calling you a gentleman, do you?
I've been called far worse.
Yes, I believe you have. I don't know that you have, but I believe you have.
I believe you.
Yes, I believe you. Todd Wishnev standing by, as is Warren Sharp. We get tweets, meeting book, Fairway Fred. Give that man a raise. Dustin's late night OT sweat on air antics were fantastic. We agree. Dave Mack, can we get Kelly's barber to give him an on-air cut while we hear his sports conspiracies? Radio gold.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my dude would do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
My dude would be like, absolutely, I'll give you a haircut.
No, I wouldn't see. No, you're right. That's the problem. It wouldn't be the true, authentic experience, because Truman would love it way too much.
Truman would, and my guy Dave would. My guy is he's too raunchy for camera, though.
There's also
Yeah, dude. Kevin Ryan, Gil, the Bears pick. Talk about Chris Felica's pick. Yes, was under 20.5 team total in the Bama game. You're welcome from producer number 10. Kevin Ryan, call himself producer number 10, coming for you.
Man.
No, we were aware the Bears, probably should have said that, that Chris Felica was on yesterday. He likes the Crimson Tide under 20.5 team total. What we were trying to remember was he laying the wood with Oregon, right? Was that what we were trying to figure out last
year? Yeah, Oregon.
We weren't sure about that. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, Warren Sharp joins us right now, as he does each and every Wednesday at this time, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. And don't forget, Warren has a great deal for all VSiN listeners this week. Right now, you can get the final 4 weeks of his NFL betting recommendations for the price of 1 week. That's a 75% discount. Go to sharp.football. That's sharp.football. Click the top link. Use code FINAL4. That's the word final, the number 4, on the rest of the season package to join today. That's the rest of the season package. Join today. Once again, code FINAL4. Warren joins us now from the DMV with a beautiful little Christmas tree behind him. Merry Christmas to you, Warren.
Thank you, Gil. Merry Christmas, everybody out there. Certainly, the weather is going to feel a lot like Christmas. It's beginning to look like Christmas this weekend. We are getting a Arctic blast coming through. And you're going to see it. And it's interesting the way that they've laid out the schedule this week, Gil. Take a look at that schedule. All the 4 o'clock games aren't going to be impacted by it, especially because the Chiefs play the Chargers at 1 o'clock. But you're going to have like 5 1 o'clock games, which are all outdoors and are either East Coast or Midwest. You're talking about like Cincinnati, Chicago, New York Giants, the New England Patriots game. So pay close attention to the weather in a lot of these games for either cold or in some cases a little bit of wind. I think Philly might have a touch of wind or potential for some more snow in New England. So a lot of interesting weather games in that early kickoff slate this Sunday.
It is that time of year for sure. I love watching football in the snow. I just think it's awesome. I remember my dad used to hate it. He'd be like, it's not fair. Because he thought it even the talent level.
Yeah. With your dad.
That was his thing. Though he was also the guy that says, give everybody steroids to make it an even playing field in baseball. He's a big even playing field guy.
Good luck at any defense trying to stop Josh Allen in the snow like that last week, okay?
Let's talk about a game that has nothing to do with the snow. Let's go to SoFi for the Rams and the Lions, one of the marquee games of the weekend, where the Rams are 5.5-point favorites. We were talking, again, huge implications, obviously, for both teams. Lions more of a do or die. Rams just trying to win the division, trying to get the number one seed. What are your thoughts? What are the unique Warren Sharp angles on this one?
Well, this one's pretty obvious, but you've got the cluster injuries now that Brian Branch is out, tore his Achilles in the game last week against the Cowboys. And that was like, I view it as almost like the straw that breaks the camel's back for that defense because of everything that he's capable of doing, all the different places they could line him up. They could move him around and kind of make up for the fact that they already had massive cluster injuries in their secondary. And now that he's the one who's out, I think it's going to be extremely problematic. And the guy that you don't want to be going up against is Sean McVay in this situation, because he can find the smallest little like open, you know, little scab and pick it open and cause a massive wound just with one player being injured on your team or one rookie that's out there, let alone a whole secondary full of inexperienced guys that are clear step downs from the starters at the beginning of the season. And as a result, I think the Rams have a big upside here. There's two key aspects where the Rams should have a lot of success offensively. The first one is in explosive plays. The Lions defense, this is, you know, Brian Branch just tore his Achilles, so he's been playing, aside from being suspended that one game. The Lions ranked 26th in rate of plays to gain 20-plus yards. They ranked 29th in explosive play defense and 30th in rate of completions to gain 10-plus yards. So they were already one of the worst defenses versus explosive plays. Now they're going up against an offense that is great at gaining explosive plays. They're going up an offense. And then the second factor here is red zone. This is one of the worst red zone defenses in the NFL, whether you look at red zone stats or goal to go stats. And the Rams have changed things a lot this past year to utilize different types of personnel groupings down inside of the red zone. As we know, there's a lot of talk about how much they're using 13 personnel. And one of the things I wrote in my book is how they needed to do something different in the red zone, because that was one of the biggest weaknesses of their team last year, was their red zone performance. They've gone up against the Lions a couple of times over the last 2 years. They lost in the 2023 playoffs, and they lost in the week one of 2024 season. So the Rams are 0-2 the last 2 years against Jared Goff's both of these guys are on the former team, but Matthew Stafford's former team, the Lions. The Rams have had 8 total red zone drives in those 2 games, and they scored only 2 touchdowns. In part because of their red zone problems. They're a much better red zone offense right now. So I think the combination of their explosive offense matched up with the weakness of the bad explosive defense coupled with those injuries. And then when they do get into the red zone, their improved red zone offense versus the Lions' weaker red zone defense is just going to be a lot to handle for the Detroit Lions defense here, and Dan Campbell calling plays offensively. I think it's going to be a fun, entertaining game, probably high scoring. And there's a reason that the total moved up multiple points here in this one.
Yeah. You've talked about the Rams personnel and in red zone situations this year. That's been a running theme. Interesting as we head into this ball game. And yeah, the Stafford Goff trade, I guess we've stopped calling these matchups. Oh, look, it's Stafford and Goff, the two guys that got traded for each other. We've stopped mentioning that these many years later. But I guess if we look back, as great as Goff has been for the Lions statistically, I guess the Rams have to say, we won the Super Bowl, though. So yeah, we won this trade, I guess, in the end. At least that's how it stands right now. What about Thursday night, tomorrow night? Not the sexiest game. Anything on the Bucs and the Falcons tomorrow night?
The first thing I was drawn to was the field conditions. These guys played on Sunday in a monsoon where Tyler Shook ran all over the place, and Lord, that did. Field was torn up. I went back and rewatched that game in the fourth quarter, and the field was a disaster. It'll be interesting to see how quickly they get it turned around and in good condition for this game. The key is, I don't know if Michael Penix was the quarterback for the Falcons, I would have had a better idea of how they might utilize Bijan Robinson. But if you go back and look at the history of Bijan going up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Todd Bowles' run defense, Bijan has struggled massively in these games. But the way that you would then pivot is say, okay, let's throw the ball to Bijan Robinson, because this Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense is the worst in the NFL defending running back passes. And so it's a great opportunity to throw the ball to Bijan Robinson. But you've got this wild card, which is Kirk Cousins. And Kirk Cousins doesn't, for whatever reason, like to, it sounds counterintuitive, but just like make the easy, simple, direct throw. I think he feels like it's beneath him. And so look at Bijan's target rate when Kirk Cousins is starting. It's not anywhere close to what it was with Michael Penix starting. And as a result, like Bijan last week, I think he only caught 2 passes. I mean, there's no reason that you should. Meanwhile, the games where Michael Penix is starting and Bijan Robinson sometimes is their leading receiver. Bijan Robinson is, you know, 6-7 targets. And so they need to utilize Bijan Robinson through the air in this game against a solid run defense that's the worst in the NFL defending running back passes. I just don't know that I have the confidence, Gil, that they're going to do that with Kirk Cousins at the helm here, even though it's the most logical thing to do.
It's so funny you bring that up, and you didn't know that I was going to bring up tomorrow night's game. You might have guessed that I would have, but I happened to be watching, speaking of Stafford Goff, blockbuster trade, one player for one player, I happened to be watching some Washington Commanders podcast, and they had Clinton Portis and Champ Bailey on as the guest. speaking of a blockbuster trade, one for one back in the day between the Broncos and the Skins, but they were both on this Skins show, Portis and Champ, and they were talking about exactly this with the Falcons. And it was fascinating seeing two guys who were both great NFL players, one a Hall of Famer in Bailey, who were just so frustrated talking about the Falcons. They basically just distilling it to one sentence. They were both losing their minds about, we know who your best players are. Just go to them. Stop making this game so much more complicated than it needs to be. Is that like, does that echo one of your biggest frustrations in watching the league beyond the Falcons, just league wide?
Yeah, I mean, there's a saying out there, the assumption of rational coaching.
Yes.
Like, do the most obvious things that are going to give your team the biggest upside. And so many of these teams see, like, something simple in front of them. I don't know if they outthink themselves. Oh, well, they'll know that we're going to try to do that. So then they're going to be prepared. So we should try something different.
Like, that's right.
Don't overthink it sometimes. Make the right calls. Make the right decisions. The goal is to try to – the game is simple at times, Gil. Figure out the fastest way to build a lead. That should be the number one objective for any staff. What are the biggest mismatches so you can build a lead the quickest in this game? Force somebody else to go to plan B, C, or D, make the changes that they didn't approach the game with, and start out fast. And usually that's going to be getting the ball into your best player's hands as quickly as possible and as frequently as possible and as creatively as possible.
It's very true. It's like Princess Bride with the guys like, you think I'm going to drink that drink, so I'm not going to drink that drink because you think I'm going to drink that drink kind of thing. Warren, always a pleasure. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Warren Sharp, everybody, at Sharp Football. Remember the deal over at sharp.football for VSiN listeners with the code FINAL4. Check it out. Wishnev next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
speaking of Wishnev off air, please do not repeat what Todd Wishnev. Please, I'm going to beg Todd not to repeat what he just said. Todd Wishnev joining us momentarily for Wishnev Wednesdays. The man is on a college basketball heater. I can't even call it a heater because it's from the beginning of the season. It's not even a heater.
Yeah.
Heater implies that then it comes down at some point.
Right, that it was cold at some point.
That's right. Hasn't been. We'll get his unit count. Momentarily, I just want to read this one tweet because I'm always touched by anybody who says something like this. Jeff Kuykendall couldn't be any nicer on Twitter. Says, anytime you share a tidbit about your father is always a welcome addition to the show. I am sure you miss him dearly. Enjoy your day. Thank you, Jeff. That is so nice of you. Very sweet of you. Not even 2 hours go by where I don't think of him in some ways. But yes, he watched football with me, and I'm always touched when Will Hill always does this too. Whenever we're watching a game on the group chat, and there's two consecutive losses on offense, whether by sack or penalty, whatever, my dad always said the same thing as if he had never said it before. He's like, Jesus Christ, they're going the wrong way. So Will always sends that text every time. I'm always touched by it.
Hey, he sees the game like I do too, man, apparently. This is where I catch a lot of heat for this, but it's the if I'm, in theory, if I'm betting on something, I would like the playing conditions to be absolutely pristine for everybody involved.
I don't know if he thought that teams lost their way for a while, like they couldn't figure, they should remind themselves the direction they're supposed to go, kind of thing. Todd Wishnev joins us, ladies and gentlemen. You can follow him on Twitter at TWishnev as part of Wishnev Wednesday. He's also, of course, the star of the Megapod. It's his podcast, after all. And the star of Showtime's docuseries Action, where producers plucked him out of the crowd at the South Point Hotel Casino at the southern tip of the Strip. He joins us now from Squirrel Hill, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. What's happening, Toddy?
Well, Gilly, I did hear that you were in the radio business, and back in 1980s, there was a song by Kool and the Gang. It goes a little bit like this. Celebrate good times. Come on. Da-na-na-na. We'll celebrate and have a good. There's a party going.
Todd had his coffee this morning, man.
He's all right. This kid, it's almost like he's 80-plus units up in college basketball. What's your record, Todd?
Well, it's getting a little ridiculous at this point. I don't really think I'm this good at college basketball, to be fair. But I am now 314-195 for plus 82.05
Dude.
Bet size, bets. 61.7%, and at an approximate minus 119 bet size gets you plus 82.05 units.
You know what I love about this so much is that you have, you have what, like 1,000 people now following you on your Discord. And there, I love it because there's still like there's still people out there like, oh, he sucks. I was like, okay, keep saying that. Keep saying that.
Well, I'm probably not this good, to be fair.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're now at 500 picks. We're getting to quite a large number.
That was the thing that stuck out to me. I immediately picked up my phone. I'm like, let me go see how many bets I've made in the NBA this season. Just that alone is fascinating.
Well, it's because it's all in game. Right. He's betting totals for games, totals for the half, sides, all kinds of stuff. Where can people go to be a part of this, Todd?
There's a post on my Twitter, like from last Thursday, where you can just sign up for just hit the link for the Discord and you can get on.
I gotta figure out how to get the alerts on the Discord, because I had the alerts on the Telegram, but I can't. I'm too stupid to figure out the settings. Well, it is for me. Okay. Have you met me before? Okay. So usually when you come on here, I ask you some version of the question of, hey, which teams are better than most would suspect, which teams are worse. Let's be a little more nuanced about it. In terms of teams that are good on one side of the ball, bad on the other, and vice versa. What do you got for us?
Yeah, I've found, and the reason I brought this up with you is I found that oftentimes when teams are so ridiculously good on offense and ridiculously bad on defense, or the opposite, let's just take the first example, right? Ridiculously good on offense, ridiculously bad on defense. The overs have a way of, even if they make it so high, right? Because they think, oh, this team's going to score a lot and not going to stop anybody. They just can't make it high enough. You know, because the numbers, when you get so ridiculous, you know, and just to give you an example of some of those kind of teams, I went through the Ken Palm stuff and looked through, like, for instance, Baylor is 12th on offense and 95th on defense. And you're going to say, wait, there's 350 teams in college basketball. Well, 95 is not that bad. No. For a real team, 95 is a disaster. Okay. So Baylor is, you know, they're 128th on pace. So very often it's hard for them to make a high enough number. Another example would be Oklahoma, 27th on offense, 116th on defense. Colorado State, 15th on offense, 183 on defense. I mean, some of these numbers, and then you get into like some of the more obscure teams. Oakland, 71 on offense, 315th on defense.
Oh, man.
And they play fast. They play 36th fastest. So that's like an example of some of these crazy-ass teams. Providence is another one I love. 43rd on offense.
Last night, Brown-Providence was just a smoking pace. Yeah.
Right. And so if you know this stuff and you know what teams are, it can help you in the in-game because, maybe it's already priced into the pregame, but it can help you in the in-game to push you to maybe make a bet you were not sure of, or to stay off a bet that you're not sure of the other way. So knowing that these teams exist and you know how they work and stuff. For instance, on the defensive end, Marist is 342nd on offense and 30th on defense. They're like a real team, 30th on defense and horrendous on offense, right? Or Cincinnati is the best example in the country. 218th on offense and 9th on defense with a 60th pace. So they're going to run. They can't put the ball in the basket, and they can stop you from putting the ball in the basket. So, you know, West Virginia, another example, except the opposite on pace. They're 114 on offense, 41st on defense, 350th in pace. So if they play a team that also goes slow, they're going to shut them down. They're not going to score. And that's how Mercyhurst gets 38 points. I mean, these things, if you know these things, it can help you on the in-game. VCU, 77th on offense, 15th on defense, 59th in pace. So again, if you can get a feel, here's one of the top teams. Everyone wants to know about the top teams. Kansas, granted, their top guy has been out for some games. 50th on offense, 8th on defense, 254th in pace. That's pretty defensive oriented. Austin Peay, 292 on offense, 97 on defense, 153 in pace. Again, if you can get, you know, if you can know these teams, even if you know 10 of them on each side of the ball, it can help you on the end game.
Toddy Wishnet prepared for the segment. Really
love it.
Love it.
I figured I wanted to make the segment better than the average 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock on Friday, which is substandard.
What's 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock on
Fez?
Uh-oh, that's right. I was like, what's he referring to? Oh, I get it now. Okay. Shots fired. Okay. Let me ask you about this, though.
So, it's only funnier because it took you a minute.
That's like, wait, who's he referring? Oh, I see. By the way, Dr. Bob on the podcast tomorrow on the Megapod, Todd, please be on your best behavior. Todd and Dr. Bob. Todd has allegedly been rude to Bob in the past.
That is such nonsense. It's just...
And then we call him out on it, and then Bob is like, he's not being rude, so then Todd feels he's not being rude. It's a whole thing. Anyway, real quick, though, and I know this doesn't matter to people while they're cashing all these bets that you're recommending on your Discord, but I am just curious, because I asked Greg Peterson, who was on earlier, I'm like, oh my God, did you see AJ DeBonta yesterday? It was just unbelievable. This freshman class is just sick. While you are doing what you're doing, because you are robot braining all of this, you're looking at the box scores and you're determining whether bets need to be triggered or not. Are you able to appreciate like individual performances and isolate players? You're like, oh my God, this guy is unbelievable for the love of the game. Or has it just become so mechanical for you that like you can't even do that anymore?
Well, teams, I can, as far as teams go, and some, you know, sometimes, you know, you start to know the guys on the teams, but I feel like I do it like on Michigan. They've got that giant kid who used to be on UCLA, Mara, you know, who's incredibly tough to stop. And, you know, you notice some of the big names on some of the things, but for me, it's more like I know about teams as opposed to more than individual players on those teams. So I would say, yeah, on individual players, it's not as big a focus, but definitely teams, you start to really know them. I mean, there's a ton of them. Well, I'll go to myself, I'll look at the Lions pregame. I'll be like, wait a second. I love this team. Or I don't love this team. And of course, if I would have bet it, I would have won easily. Mm-hmm. And I should probably take the time to at least bet some of these pregames small that just jump off the page at me, you know, like yesterday, Clemson plus the points against BYU. I was like, oh my God, that's crazy. Clemson almost pulled the upset, probably should have.
Have you made any futures bets this year to win it all? Anything?
Yes, I have. I actually bet about a week or two ago. I bet two futures. I usually don't bet futures, but I did have Connecticut those 2 years they won early in December. Mm-hmm. But this year I took 10-1 Michigan and 25-1 Iowa State.
Wow.
Those are the two that I have right now.
Both looking really good at those numbers, especially Michigan. My goodness.
Is Michigan still
And the Zags are really good, too.
Gonzaga's great, except they lost to Michigan by 40. Other than that, they've been pristine.
Right, but you have to take that off their record. If you look at some of these other teams, they're beating the hell out of good teams. So it makes Michigan even more impressive.
Toddy Wishnev, everybody, at T Wishnev, if you want to hop aboard the Wishnev train, Wishnev Wednesdays. Thank you, Toddy. Appreciate it. See you tomorrow. Todd Wishnev.
No problem.
Megapod star. 80 units plus college hoops. Coming back on a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you missed it the first time, good news. We're giving you one last chance to score an unforgettable Vegas weekend at Circa Resort and Casino. Right now, the first 100 new VSiN Pro annual subscribers who sign up using promo code CIRCA will receive a free 3-night stay at Circa Resort and Casino January 2nd through the 5th, plus a day bed at Stadium Swim during the final weekend of the NFL regular season. You also save 50% off the monthly price and get a full year of VSiN Pro, daily best bets, exclusive betting splits, AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video, every betting guide from the college football playoff through next year's NFL. It's your last shot at the Circa getaway, so don't wait. Lock in your spot now at VSiN.com/CIRCA. And use promo code CIRCA. That's VSIN.com/CIRCA. Check it out. That sounds like fun. Have you stayed in a Circa room before?
No, I have never.
I have not either.
Never have.
You would think that at some point we would have figured out that might be a plus EV move for us. But apparently not.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
I'm sure it will happen at some point. It'll be that night that I need to stay here, you know?
We get tweets of Biddy the Book. I just want to read this one from Bobby Geddes. Naturally, I had to look up Y.A. Tittle again. Amazes me every time. We were talking about old quarterbacks in light of Philip Rivers perhaps playing for the Colts at age 44, and there's only been five others to play at age 44 in the past. Once again, that list is, of quarterbacks at that age who have played 44 or above. Tom Brady, Vinny Testaverde, Steve DeBerg, George Blanda, Warren Moon, and now perhaps perhaps Philip Rivers. But we talked about, like, who's the oldest looking quarterback, and we brought up Y.A. Tittle. So Bobby Getty said, I naturally had to look up the Y.A. Tittle picture again. Amazes me every time. Also, do you know what the Y.A. stands for, Kelly? Do you have any idea?
Not at all.
Yelberton Abraham.
Excuse me?
What a legend. Kelly's got to love that name. Yelberton Abraham.
Yelberton?
Yelberton. That's why I went by Y.A.
Yeah, even in the 20s, that was a good call to start just going by Y.A. Yelberton.
I'm going to go by Y.A. Can I shout out?
Tweet at me if you know anybody in your life named Yelberton still.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a name.
Can I shout out Chris Felica one time? I know this is like bad form to do this on air, but I feel like I need to thank him on air. Chris, I was Chris's plus one yesterday at the Urban Meyer, his colleague at mm-hmm. Big Noon Saturday was.
You might know him as a famous college football coach.
Or other things. I don't know what preseason, but he's going in the College Football Hall of Fame, and they had a banquet in Vegas for it, and then they had an after party. Anyway, they ended up at Carbone last night. You know how much I love Carbone, as I like to call it, my home games here in Las Vegas. And so they ended up in the back room at Carbone, and Chris had me over there. It was an unbelievable spread of food.
Just you gotta stop
unbelievable.
Thank God Wyatt brought in McDonald's.
Yeah, I got hash browns here on the side. I'm surprised I made it through the show today. Not yet, but close. Because of all the food eaten. It was just incredible. And all them Fox folk were there.
So good time?
Great time. Thanks to Chris Felica. Thanks for him being on the show yesterday morning.
That was great having him in.
Super generous. You know, you meet people in this industry, right? You can draw a line right down the middle. Those who think they're too big for their britches, and then there's the nicest people in the world. Chris Felica, top of the list. Just want to send him a shout-out.
Yeah, absolutely,
out.
Man.
Yep, absolutely. Real quick now.
Oh, boy. JVT just sent me a video of Philip Rivers. His, I guess, introductory press conference.
Yeah.
He looks like he's been out of football for a few years.
Really? Because someone was...
leave it at that.
I heard the opposite. Someone was saying he's in better shape now. He looks like he's in better shape now than he did then.
Okay.
Okay. You don't believe that? Okay.
I just saw him walk up to a presser. That's it. Okay. It's all I've seen.
Billy Charlebois.
I could be wrong.
Billy Charlebois says, Todd needs the nickname Hot Toddy, a warm seasonal cocktail, and the dude is on fire. Yes, he is.
I mean, to be fair, it's not like, none of us are exactly crushing Philip Rivers. I don't think anybody ever looked at Philip Rivers and be like, specimen of an athlete.
Nobody did. Right. We say a lot of Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, a lot of
also
guys.
Not the same. Yeah. Let's look at division by division because we haven't done this necessarily in all the markets we look at in the NFL. But let's just look at division by division real quick. NFC East. Oh, here we have Adam Schefter, by the way. Commanders quarterback Jaden Daniels, who suffered another left elbow injury versus the Vikings, is out for Washington's upcoming game versus the Giants.
Great job by the crew out in the back there. I don't know who's on graphics
on
right
top
now, but
of
I saw the little breaking news bug, Darnell taking credit. There he is. Yeah.
There he is.
If you watch VSiN.com, watch us on YouTube TV, you'll see that little breaking news flasher come up at the bottom of the screen. I saw it before I even saw it on my phone.
Yeah. Shout out Darnell, who's a Commanders fan like mm-hmm. myself. He was all over this. Shut it down. Have this, please, season end already, please.
I was going to say, how do you feel? I mean, if they're ruling him out for this week.
I didn't want him to play against the Vikings. He needs to not play anymore this year.
Yeah.
Get the kid healthy. Just enough. Too many injuries. And then Zach Ertz blew out his knee. It's just one after another. The most games lost to injury for starters by far this year, the Washington Commodores.
I still feel similar. It's different injuries, but I still feel similarly about it with Jackson Dart. It's just like,
what are you doing?
What are we doing?
And Jackson Dart is concussions. That's even worse.
Like, the worst thing you could do is get one of these guys hurt for a long period of time right now when the season's almost over.
Yeah, but they're football players, Kelly, and if they're getting paid, they got to play. That's what their whole attitude is.
Yeah.
Eagles in the NFC East. Win total remains at 10.5. Remember, they're 8-5 now. Cowboys are 6-6-1, a game and a half back. So no tiebreakers will apply here because of the tie involved, right? So the Cowboys, to win the NFC, as we talked about this yesterday, they got to beat the Eagles by 2 in these last four games. So 4-0 versus 2-2, in other words. And if you look at the schedules, again, it's not the most outlandish thing in the world, which is why I bet all those Cowboys, you know, stage of elimination, I bet a couple of them, and the Cowboys to win the East at 10-1. Let's start with the Eagles. Eagles, home Raiders this week. The must win of all must wins. Then it's home and road and home with the Commanders sandwiched in between at the Bills. So the Cowboys are looking at that schedule and going, okay, well, at the Bills, they'll chuck it up at a loss, and if they split with the Commanders, that's their 2-2.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Cowboys' case, it's home Vikings, home Chargers, at Commanders, at Giants. They got to win them all. That's the path. So I don't know. I'm just saying, I don't hate the Cowboys to win the division still. I really don't.
I don't hate it either.
Given the way that the Eagles are playing, I mean, we should probably start with that phrase. Given the way that the Eagles look, and even coming close to winning the other night, Jalen Hurts, 4 picks, 1 fumble, 5 turnovers, two turnovers on one play. Hasn't been done since at least 1978. And who was it? I saw somebody say this. Forgive me that I don't remember who said this. It wasn't me, but it resonated, which is Jalen Hurts non-clutch makes him a very ordinary player. Mm. Like his superpower was clutch is basically what the person was saying.
Yeah. I want to say he's getting a little too much criticism right now, but because in my opinion, that entire offense and that entire team deserves that criticism. But man, what a wild fall from last year.
Can you imagine after the Super Bowl just being like, well, here's what's going to happen next year, guys. Saquon is going to be a shell of his former self.
Right.
Jalen's going to be a shell of his former self. The tush push ain't going to work like it used to.
All the same guys are back.
Yeah.
And all that's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's wild.
NFC North.
And that's and just to drive that point home, right? It is, if we sat here 2 weeks ago, I don't know if I would have had the same feelings, even when we were making the Cowboys bets. I wouldn't have thought that the Eagles were going to look like this still. So when you look at the end of that Eagles schedule, you want to say, oh, this is easy. But I don't think anything's easy right now for this team.
Good thing the Eagles fans are handling it well.
Oh, always. Always cool.
NFC North, Packers are 9-3-1. Bears are 9-4. Lions are 8-5. You see the win totals. Packers and Bears both set at 11.5. Lions at 10.5. Packers minus 250 to win the division. Bears plus 310. Lions 8-1. Is there a bet here? Bears to miss the playoffs is the only thing I'd consider.
Yeah, me and you are in on that already. This one's a little interesting to me. Like, okay, me and you think the Bears are going to miss.
I don't know that they're going to miss, but it's a bet I would make. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we made it, right? So
I'm saying now, for people. I would make it.
This really depends on how strongly you feel about this team. You'd have to feel stronger than me. But if you're betting the Lions this week against the Rams, I don't think an 8-1 shot is that ridiculous to take here.
If you believe they're beating the Rams.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah, I agree. I agree. But
that's something I'd probably be adding on if I was betting them.
Lions riddled with injuries too, though.
I don't think they get there. I think this is the Packers to lose. I don't think the Bears win it either. But, man, how many times this year have we talked about the Packers looking inconsistent? Finally, they've hit a couple weeks where they're looking pretty good. It wouldn't shock me if they looked... they're going to play the Broncos this week. If for some reason, that team doesn't look all that hot.
NFC West. Rams 10-3, currently with the number one seed. Seahawks 10-3. Niners 9-4. Rams and Seahawks with adjusted win totals of 12.5. Niners adjusted season win total 11.5. Right now to win the division. Rams minus 145. Seahawks plus 185. Niners 7-1.
This is another one. Two best teams in football, Rams and Seahawks.
Yeah.
That's how me and you both have them in our power rankings,
yes,
right?
Sir.
1-2, mm-hmm. Rams, Seahawks.
Seahawks, second hardest remaining schedule in all the NFL behind the Colts.
The bet here would be the Niners.
Wow.
The Niners are still live. 7-1, like they've still got a shot. Next week, you've got Seahawks, Rams.
Rams have an easier schedule down the stretch, though, than the Niners do.
They do.
Yeah.
They do, but you lose the Seahawks, right? Let's say, I mean, if you lose Lions, Seahawks, the Niners are live.
Do you agree with me? Do you watch part of that Rams-Cardinals game and just be like, this team is the best team in the NFL and it might not be close?
Yep. Yeah, I would word it exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it might not even be close.
Might not be close. Man, when they look good, they look good. Coming back, we'll do more of these and we'll recap all the bets, including an extra from Warren Sharp. Next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, un partido de números. For those listening in Spanish, Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, Kelly Bidlin.
Man, we got a great crew.
The best.
Love chatting with them off the air.
Darnell, Roberto Moreno,
Chris. Absent today.
Chris, deep thoughts with Chris Foster. Obviously, Danny.
Higgins. You somehow give Rob Moreno too much and too little love.
Larry Mir.
Yeah.
Andre's hanging out. I don't know what he's doing. He's just hanging out. He just wants to be
Andre, yeah. Hey, he laughs at my jokes. That's important. That's important. Okay. That's really important. Someone's got to laugh at him. Nobody else is.
Who are we forgetting? That's here some days.
Wyatt Tomchek's always helping out.
Wyatt Tomchek, who by the way,
this place.
Wyatt Tomchek, who is the king of the Megapod. The Megapod doesn't happen without Danny and Wyatt.
Every graphic you see on air, designed by Ryan Pineda, who I assume is just sitting at home in pajama pants doing
Isaiah
that.
Isaiah Von Wrinkel.
Well, he runs the whole place.
Typically responsible for hash browns, though not today. Wyatt responsible for the hash browns. Did you already eat yours? Your whatever they gave
you? My sausage egg McMuffin?
Yes.
Yes.
You did?
Yeah.
During the show?
Yeah. It's delicious. Starving.
You put down a whole sausage McMuffin with egg during a break?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, do you want to know? You and Ward were you and Ward were having a great conversation before his
spot.
And I was eating back there with the crew, and I said, "Why try to give me a McMuffin once a week? I need this kind of break."
Must be nice. Drew Bridges on Twitter: Rams next 10 days versus Lions, and at Seahawks, Niners versus Seahawks Week 18. Very possible. Enough value.
Mm. I don't hate it. You know me, Gil, I'm not usually the guy. We go through these this late in the season. I feel like I'm usually the person that's like, well, you're going to run out of runway here.
Lawrence Carter has a cross-sport parlay. He's got the Rams to win the NFC.
Did he just bet it, or is this one of those, like, check out how great this is going
to
be?
I don't know if he just bet it or not. He's got the Rams to win the NFC. Oh, no, he didn't. He definitely didn't just bet it, because I see some of these numbers. Yeah. Rams to win the NFC at plus 650. He put all these together. Oregon Ducks to win the college football playoff at 5-1. And then the Los Angeles Dodgers plus 240 to win next year's. Was it next year's? No, this past year's Major League Baseball.
We got one home.
So one is home. What's the payout on this?
All right.
152-1.
Let's go.
Let's go, Lawrence Carter. Let's do it.
I mean, like, secretly, I hope you lose, but, you know. I've got the Seahawks to win the NFC.
Yeah, so. And I got the Hoosiers to win college football. Paul M., not mentioned very often. How many O coordinators has Hurts had? Yeah, man. Not learning lesson from hiring within the first time. 3 years ago is more to blame. By the way, 6 new coordinators in 6 years. Yeah, as things were going great for Hurts, we rarely brought that up. But between Oklahoma and Alabama before that and the Eagles.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It's been a lot.
I'm kind of one of those defenders of him still. Feel like I've always been a little bit. I don't think he's great. I think he gets overrated sometimes too, but man, he gets quickly killed. And then, but the reports this year have been troubling, right? Of just that there is kind of division in the locker room, and it feels like he's on one side and everybody else is on the other.
He falls into
you say it so well.
My body language thing, which is, in baseball, it's Robinson Cano, Camilo Duval, right? As long as things are going great and you have the nonchalant body language on stuff, things are awesome. But as soon as Robinson Cano hits below the Mendoza line, or Camilo Duval starts getting shelled as the Giants closer, and then with the Yankees, or in football, like I say about Jordan Love, right? Jordan Love, you cannot tell what's happening. As nonchalant as can be. When things are going well, Jordan Love's never going to take any
incoming. And that works.
But if it doesn't go well, people who are too nonchalant, whether it's fair or not, I'm not saying it's fair, but people will look at them and be like, oh, I mean, like, act like you care. Do something.
It's America, man. We demand answers.
It's America.
You must respond and answer for the mistakes you have made. And some of these guys, they don't feel like talking about
it.
They're not going to act like they care about your concerns.
Remember, we used to talk, this is a little different from the nonchalant face. We used to talk about the Eli Manning face and the Jay Cutler face.
Yeah,
Eli Jay Manning Cutler. Won 2 Super Bowls with the Eli Manning face. But Jay Cutler didn't do that, did he?
No, he did not. No, he did
not. He did not. The Jay Cutler face.
I wonder if the Colts worked him out.
Made you mad. The twist, it's no longer Phillip Rivers. It's Phillip Rivers, man. Yeah, just from a curiosity standpoint, don't you want to see it happen, though?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
I want to see him play.
But again, separate minds, right? Like, yeah. I want him and think, like, I think there's a chance. I don't, I, It's not like Phillip Rivers was Michael Vick or anything running the ball. Nope. Like, could he drop back there in a clean pocket and still sling it around?
Yeah.
I'm a believer.
Sure.
It could happen. He's got great weapons on the Colts.
Sling was never his thing either, right? He shot puts everything. I never could figure out his release. Weirdest I could never figure out. And apparently his tremendous prospect son, Gunnar Rivers, apparently throws the ball the exact same way, we're told.
Gunner.
By Danny Higgins.
Gunner Rivers, obviously.
Yeah. Jason H11 adds, the single reason why the Eagles versus Cowboys is even a discussion is because the Eagles lost to the Giants 34-17. What was that? He didn't say what, though. He used the acronym. That was that weird Thursday night game during the MLB playoffs, right? I believe. Where it was like on another screen, I was like fixated on the MLB playoffs, and like the Eagles were getting trucked by the Giants. It's not only that, though. They were up 21-0 on the 21-0 on the Cowboys, and were they 8-2 at the time, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, I mean, that's the turning
moment,
point, right?
Right? It's the bizarro Kirk Cousins moment. Remember Kirk Cousins' career turning around down 24-0 to the Bucks in the famous "You Like That" game? This is the opposite of that.
It's exactly that. Because you had the weeks before that, you had wins over the Packers.
Yeah.
Win over the Eagles at home.
Yeah.
Go up 21-0 on the Cowboys.
Well, Eagles didn't beat the Eagles. Who did the Eagles play before the Packers?
Wait, what?
What are you saying? Whose schedule are you talking about there?
Eagles beating...
Yeah, you said the Eagles beat the Eagles. Eagles beat the Packers.
And the Eagles beat the Lions.
Ah, there you go.
And then it went up 21-0 on the Cowboys, and then that happened.
Yeah. Here are the bets, again, from Guessing Lines. Bengals +2.5 versus the Ravens. Bills -1 at the Patriots. Packers -1.5 at the Broncos for me. We're actually missing a bet. I'm also on the Steelers -3.5 as well. I have 4 bets in the NFL this week. Good God. And then Thunder to win the NBA Cup at -120. The Thunder begin the 3-game arc tonight. Let's go.
Let's go, Thunder.
I got Thunder fever.
Now, if you do want to take a step back, could just be like, well, the Eagles have had to play the Packers, Lions, Cowboys, Bears, and Chargers in 5 consecutive weeks.
So there's that.
There's also that, right?
I've also got Indiana to win the college football playoff at 10-1. That was my midseason. I think this team could beat any team / regret that I didn't bet Mendoza when Joe Pita did to win Heisman Trophy bet. Also have the 3 Cowboys bets to win the NFC East at 10-1, and then stage of eliminations to lose in the divisional round at 12-1, to lose in the conference championship at 22-1. I cannot believe I have bets on the Cowboys.
Yeah, you do. Big Cowboys fan.
Yeah. Betting is betting, though.
That's right.
Value is value.
Get it home, Cowboys.
What do you got?
Thunder, -120 to win the NBA Cup. We didn't really talk about today's games all that much. I don't have anything just of note. We're out to 7.5 on the Lakers tonight. No Victor Wembanyama for the Spurs. Looked like they were going to have a chance to get him back. Looks like it's going to be another game or two. That total on the rise, 240.5, a little bit different than what we saw yesterday with some of these games getting bet to the under. Then Suns, Thunder, that line 14.5. Devin Booker questionable for tonight. I don't really have a great read on where that's going to go. Total is starting to drop a little bit in that game. NFL for me this week, laying 2.5 with the Panthers, 1.5 with the Packers, and 5.5 with the Cowboys.
Will Hill on the show earlier on the show. On the show earlier on the show is redundant, but you get the idea.
I got it.
Yeah. He's got Army plus the points versus Navy. He got Army +7. I think it's 6 right now, consensus. He's got Army. Not a standalone. There's a bowl game that night, too, between Boise State and Washington. But Army plus the points versus Navy. He's got Oregon in the first round of the college football playoff laying the 21 versus James Madison. He's got Miami plus the 3.5 at Oklahoma in the first round of the college football playoff. NFL, which we didn't get to, he is on the Lions plus the points against the Rams +6 this weekend. And he bet Phillip Rivers, NFL comeback player of the year at 18-1. I gave an impassioned speech as to why I thought you should not bet this. The first segment of the show, Will concedes that when he pressed submit, part of him thought that he was a crazy person. I think he used a different term, but he did have some self-loathing when he pressed the button. Suns, team total under 104.5 versus the Thunder tonight. Will is all about the Thunder. He's got him to win 7. He's got him to win 74. And he's got the Suns team total under tonight against the Thunder. Nick Whalen, our buddy from RotoWire, he's on the Pats +1.5 versus the Bills, where Oppo. He's laying the points with the Niners -12.5 versus the Titans, and the Packers Broncos under from Nick at 43.5 as well. And then Warren Sharp, we didn't get to this with Warren, but he's got Derrick Henry over 17.5 rush attempts in the Ravens-Bengals game. He added, could be a trap, but I like it. I'm going with it. One of Derrick Henry's lowest rushing attempt numbers of the year. And then Greg Peterson's Fab Five, Norfolk State Baylor under, Notre Dame laying the points, New Jersey Institute of Technology laying the getting the points versus New Haven, and Nebraska with the points and the under in the Nebraska-Wisconsin game. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.